from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Well, good morning. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Well, the birds are singing and the sun spreading across the universe here in the universe of Dripping Springs, Texas. And I didn't get out in the sun this morning. I like to go out first thing and sit there and look at the insides of my eyelids and talk to God, but didn't do that this morning, so after the show. Hope you guys are doing good, guys and girls. It is Thursday, the 19th of April, 2018. Just in case you are lost, tomorrow open phone Friday. And next hour, Dr. Will Falconer, who's my main go-to guy for doodle care. I don't see him very often, so that means he's doing a good job. There's places in around the world. I think you pay your doctor when you're well, and then so when you don't see them, you send them money. And look at Doodles doing her doggy yoga on her back. Doggy yoga. She gets on her back and does. You're so silly, Doodle. Are you doing doggy yoga? Well, no. Yeah. You doing dog? Come over here and lay down. We're going to do the radio show. And when you don't see your doctor, then you pay them. There's cultures that do that, and then when you get sick, then you don't pay them. Which is really just kind of the way it should work, right? Well, enough about that. Here's our phone number if you'd like to join us. 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. So doggy and kitty and hamster questions next hour. But first hour, then we're gonna talk about healthy kind of human questions and some of the work of Edgar Cayce with a good man who we've known for a long time, that we have promoted his products and his company, Iodine Source. You'll see in our store and on the front page. And great, great, great products at a really fair price that Phil Thomas makes himself in his own little laboratory and kitchen and a little thing here, place where he makes them all. And he's a real authority on the work of Edgar Cayce. You may have heard of Edgar Cayce. Didn't Phil Thomas, Edgar Cayce, played second baseman for the Cubs, didn't he? Was that Edgar Cayce, or am I got the wrong? I got the right one. No,
that was a different Edgar. Different
Edgar. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning.
How are things, Atlanta, Georgia? Atlanta, Georgia.
Finally warming up here, which everybody is happy about. Yeah,
it's you. Everybody's had kind of a cool. We still have cold nights here. We're talking about 40 degrees, 45 here, and kind of unusual for Texas spring. But you get things budding out there.
Yeah. You know, once spring is gone and summer starts, everybody will be saying, "Oh, it's so hot."
Yeah, that's right. Y'all. I haven't spent a lot of time in Atlanta. You all have a lot of. It's humid there, is in Atlanta, if I remember. Is that right? Humid.
That is the East. Yeah. So yeah, you know, I don't really turn on the sprinkler system because it rains enough. I don't need to use it.
Oh, you get plenty of rain there. I didn't know. How long have you been studying the war? And Edgar Cayce, his whole institute and where he used to hang out is right in that area. That's what brought you there?
Virginia Beach is actually where the ARE, the Association for Research and Enlightenment, is. And I was there during the 90s. And everything shifts for me about every 10 years. So, yeah, I was there for 10 years.
Did you get enlightened when you were there?
It was the best experience because, you know, I used to hang out in the flotation center with my buddy there. And, you know, we'd just sit there, you know, like all day. And people would come in and we'd talk. And, you know, I mean, it wasn't like we really had to accomplish anything. And eventually, you know, he lost the business because he didn't make any money. But
it happens, you know.
It was a wonderful experience. Uh-huh. To be able to just cut loose and say, you know what, I'm working on figuring out the Casey readings during the day, and you know, that was enough.
And the Casey readings were actually memorialization in on paper of all the people that he worked with. He would keep track of all the stuff that was going on with the person?
Yeah, they recorded it, and then somebody would, you know, later on, you know, they recorded it in shorthand, and then somebody later on would type it all out. And he talked very slowly while he was, you know, giving a reading, so it wasn't any trouble writing it all down. And then the average reading might be, turn out to be like, you know, 3 or 4 pages of double space typewritten.
Uh-huh. And what did a reading comprise of? How did he do it?
Well, you know, he would lay down on his bed and loosen up his tie and his shirt and put himself into a self-induced trance. And somebody would be directing the reading, which would, you know, there were a couple of people that were close to him that would do that. And they would say, you know, we have this this person, and Casey would need to know where they were, and they'd actually have to be there at that particular time when he was given the reading. And most of them were, you know, people that were, you know, mailed in requests. Uh-huh, uh-huh. And, you know, he'd locate the body, and then he'd go over it and talk about the various different systems and you know, what was out of balance, and then make recommendations for how to bring a body back into balance.
But that particular person at that particular time, and he could somehow sense or see or wherever he went. Do you think it was kind of a mental thing, psychic level?
He actually, you know, visited the body.
Yeah.
And examined it just like you would, you know, if you had an X-ray or something. You know, he was able to see through the body and see the various different systems and how they were working, and, you know, where the coordination was and where the incoordination was. And
that's amazing.
Yeah.
Was he very, very successful with people? He must have been, because people kept coming, huh? I mean, with his diagnosis and prognosis and diagnosis and telling him what to do.
Yeah. He tapped into what he referred to as universal consciousness, mm-hmm. which is basically the storehouse of all the information that, you know, we have accumulated. And, you know, with that, he was able to make suggestions for how to go about, you know, correcting the system just with, you know, a natural approach, you know, various different, you know, tonics and extracts, and you would recommend chiropractic adjustments and body massage and colonics and dietary corrections. And, you know, you put the whole package together and you've got a means for, you know, regaining the health.
And he somehow came up with these products, all the products that we promote through you, on whether it be the iodine and the oils and the different thing. You got a great thing for the sulfur salts for the thyroid we can talk about. And did he talk about how he came up with these? Did he just see these recipes too on that level? Did he just see them, Phil?
Yeah, nobody really asked him, like, how he knew all this stuff. He just tapped into information that was already there, right?
Yeah, right.
It was interesting, you know, once I was, we were coming back from Virginia Beach, and my wife was looking online on her phone, and she said, oh, let's go here to visit this place. And it was this inner city of Winston-Salem back in the days, which was called Winston. No, it was called Salem. Anyway, it's a little city.
One of those. It was one of those.
And in the inner city, they actually had recreated the original city, which was just a couple of streets that were a couple blocks long. And you pay to go in, and you walk down the street, and then you walk into these little houses, and each one of them is a different, craftsperson. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody's making shoes, and you go in, and I'm saying, well, geez, you know, like, where do you get this thread? And the guy said, well, it's boar's hair. I said, boar's hair? You know, it's like, where do you get that? He said, well, we get it from China. You know, keep in mind, this was 200 years ago. And they were trading with China. And, you know, you go down the street and you walk into another place, and there's a guy making a gun, you know, a rifle from like 200 years ago. And, you know, it's remarkable to see how somebody actually hand builds something like that. Or there's a baker and, you know, so on and so forth. At the top of the hill at the end of the street is the doctor's office. And you walk in there, and on the wall, there's all these different extracts that this guy was using. And I'm telling you, it's like page for page what Casey was talking about.
Really?
There's like 100 different extracts on the wall that are, you know. And this is all information that they acquired from talking to the native people that lived there. And they actually learned the native language so that they could understand how to access all this, all these natural remedies. And it's really insightful when you go back and you look at, you know, what people were doing. We don't think much about, you know, we think people were pretty barbaric 200 years ago because all we have is TV to tell us what was going on. But in actuality, there were pockets of pretty high consciousness.
How do they communicate with people 200 years ago in China and get stuff? I mean, that's crazy.
I know. It's like, God. It's like, how do they do that? That's where they got the boar's head, which was the thread that they made their shoes with, the boar's hair. Hmm.
And this was just a pocket there in Winston-Salem of these people.
Yeah, it was a group that originally came from Germany and settled in Philadelphia, and then they broke off and moved down south, probably because it was too cold in Philadelphia. And then they set up this community. It's the first women's college is there. They established that. I mean, just you know, learning the language of the native people. There's not a lot of record of that happening.
Is it similar to or connected in some way to Chinese medicine?
Well, I think because they had trade, they did tap into, you know, other experiences and other cultures. You know, and Casey certainly did. You know, there were times when he tapped into, you know, herbs or certain, you know, products or something from, you know, South America or Africa or Chinese or, you know, all over the planet, you know.
And you wonder, how do you know about those?
And, you know, he emphasized tapping into the local community, the local herbs and those kinds of things, you know, wherever you were. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But he also, you know, accessed things from all over the planet.
So he had to be doing some kind of soul traveling, if you will, right? Traveling on the inner planes to tap into all that stuff. Because that information is there, right? It's just
yeah.
It's just finding it, seeing it.
describes universal consciousness as sort of like a scheme where, you know, you like a three-dimensional chessboard where you can access virtually any information that, you know, it, from the time we came into the physical plane. And indeed, you know, some of the most, you know, insightful aspects of the Casey readings are where he goes back into prehistory and talks about how we came into the physical plane and, you know, how we evolved over, you know, millions of years. Like fascinating stuff.
And all of this material has been available, and you just start digging into it. How long ago? All this reading, a long time ago.
Yeah, when I was in high school, I started reading Casey books, and you know, there were a couple, two or three dozen Casey books, you know, on all different kinds of subjects. And then eventually, I started going down to Virginia Beach on like a pilgrimage, and then you know, finally during the 90s, I moved down there to. Well, at that time, I was actually looking at the Wetzel because, you know, there was almost 1,000 readings, you know, where Casey's talking about this particular device that he utilized to introduce vibrations into the body where, you know, he addressed all degenerative disorders. And there were like 150 different, you know, degenerative disorders that he addressed with this particular device, and I just thought it was fascinating. So I went down there, and I spent 10 years there experimenting with it. And
is that the one you have that you sent me? Is a little blue cylinder with a red top, and you put
that's the yeah, that's the radial device.
Oh,
that's the kissing cousin to the Wetzel. Yeah,
that's that. I'm sorry, that's the what?
That's the kissing cousin to the Wetzel.
I'm going to pull that out and because you put it in a bucket of ice. I did that for a while. I'm going to start doing that again and play with that. Phil Thomas is here. He's going to talk about some of these contraptions that Phil builds, that Edgar Casey built, that had quite an interesting success. And Phil's got a couple stories of some people really helped themselves with this thing they call cancer, you know, the big C thing, and using a UV lamp. He makes them, and we're going to talk about that. And so stay right there. Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. Sulfur is a pretty amazing mineral. We promote a product called Sulfur, and it's a powder. It's essentially made out of DMSO and hydrogen peroxide, and that's the source of it. And Patrick McGee and the Sulfur guy, He gets it from different places, usually same place generally, but he tests it and everything, and they have the whole thing that every batch is tested and for the purity, and it's like 99.97, and it's the real deal. Sulfur is the third most mineral in your body, and people have some very nice experiences with bringing more oxygen to the cells, and everything from creaky knees do not hurt, that kind of thing. Skin, hair, and nails improvement. Energy, that's the thing that I got turned on to. Just the kind of clarity thing that I had about 30 seconds after I took my first one hit of sulfur about 4 years ago. People always complimenting me on my skin, you know, my face. And I think sulfur has a great part to do with that. If you look at skin, different salves and things like that, or especially for the pets. Because I've bought a few over the years, but Doodle gets some kinds of allergies during the Texas summers. And over the years, would have some times when she would scratch, and you buy these little salves, and one of the first ingredients is sulfur. Sulfur is in a lot of products, face creams and things like that too. So the sulfur hit for hair, skin, and nails is definite. You can see the difference in how quickly your nails grow and your hair grows when you take sulfur. So people love it. They continue to order it month after month. And we have we sell it in 2 pound, 2 1 pound containers in one order. And and the one price, $80 for, so it's a 3-month supply at 1 teaspoon twice a day. And then Canada, we have another price, $95, I think. And then we ship all over the world, delivered worldwide, and we ship all over the world. Don't have any real issues crossing borders, which is pretty cool, for $100. It's more expensive than most that you see out there, but it's different. If you read the ingredients, yeah, very, very difficult to find pure 100% sulfur and nothing else. And over the years, folks have put, one of the main things they do with it is silicone dioxide, which really inhibits the sulfur activity. Also our sulfur, you can put it in a glass and pour most of it out, you know, with some water, and you'll see the little crystals grow in the bottom of the glass after a day or so in the windowsill. So it is, it's alive, you know, it's a living kind of a thing somehow. It just makes these little crystals. So that's what it's doing in your body. Really improves the oxygenation of the brain tissue, injured brain cells. And so if you know folks, grandma, grandpa, or mom or dad, or even yourself that's doing this little memory thing or having, you know, it's a good idea. I don't know how it works exactly, but I would also think that sulfur helps get rid of aluminum. It has a heavy metal kind of love affair, as people have said, and aluminum seems to be one of the big guys in the brains. Maybe that's what's going on with a lot of the Alzheimer's around the world. Who knows for sure? But if you know somebody with that challenge, boy, you know, order some sulfur for them and give it to them as a gift and see if they don't have some good experiences after a few days even. You can click and order sulfur right on the front page of oneradionetwork.com. If you want more than 4 pounds, shoot me an email, patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
My name is Jay. I'm 26 years of age, and I just want to thank the makers of the One World Whey protein powder. After having chronic abdominal pain and pressure for months, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis. The medical doctor told me there was nothing I could do to treat it other than taking pain and nausea medication. Then, I came across an ad for One World Whey on the radio and read the claims that it can help with all types of inflammation. I took the One World Whey protein powder every day for a month, and the chronic pain and pressure sensation went away completely. And I never took the pain or nausea meds. To this day, my intestines are free of pain.
Nature is kind. When we consume foods we're designed to eat, then she gives back health when it was once lost. One World Whey consistently supports the body's production of glutathione and overall repair. Glutathione stops inflammation, removes heavy metals, and toxins of all kind. When inflammation is gone, the body can complete its healing process. Click on the One World Whey banner ad right here at oneradionetwork.com. That's oneradionetwork.com.
If you'd like to try some pure, fresh aloe, don't forget, look at Stockton Aloe 1. Comes in frozen. It is really the way to do sulfur. I mean, I'm kind of on sulfur for a minute because we're going to talk about it some more. It's really the way to do aloe. Fresh, frozen. There's no preservatives, nothing in there but aloe. Right on the front page, you'll see it underneath the slideshow, Stockton Aloe 1.
Previously, with research scientist at MIT, Stephanie Seneff, PhD, and the curious connections between these glyphosates, Roundup, GMOs, and sulfur.
So if you simply put the glyphosate in place of the glycine in the sulfur transferase, you will not be able to get the sulfate from the cholesterol sulfate to some other molecule, such as the heparin sulfate. The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. But it's really, really important to be able to do that because, for example, cholesterol sulfate, it delivers sulfate to the cells. But in order to deliver it, you've got to take the sulfate off of the cholesterol and put it on something else. And that's what where the sulfur transferase would come in and wouldn't be able to do that.
I know, gets a little geeky, but the point is that without the proper amount of sulfur in the body, and now it's being disrupted because of the GMOs, even more than what it was already doing, it's not good. So we think that this sulfur product that we've been promoting is really helping people to keep everything kind of working well, because this whole sulfur cycle is kind of God's way of keeping the bad guys out and exiting the body. And because our sulfur is absolutely pure with no additives, it's different from almost all the other ones out there. You can click an order, 3 prices, right on our website, oneradionetwork.com.
I know it doesn't doesn't seem that way, but maybe it's the perfect day. Even though the bills are piling, and maybe Lady Luck ain't smiling, but if we'd only open our eyes, we'd see the blessings in disguise. That all the rain clouds are fountains, though our troubles seem like mountains, there's gold in them hills, there's gold in them.
To talk to Patrick, call 888-663-6386 or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Talking to Phil Thomas, who is the head stomper there at Iodine Source. You'll see the ad on the front page. A lot of very nice, very affordable products that Phil makes with Edgar Casey that he kind of just figured out how to do. On the sulfur thing, you have a product, Phil, that you used, and then we'll talk some about this UV thing, but Casey would use it, and you've used it, called sulfur salts, and it's some sulfur and a couple other little ingredients, and it helps the thyroid absorb iodine. Is that how that works?
Well, Casey recommended mostly for pulling heavy metals out of the tissue.
Just like we're talking about, right?
He used equal amounts of the sulfur, which, you know, was in a salt form, and then cream of tartar and Rochelle salts, which are both byproducts of the wine industry. So I get that stuff from Spain.
And it works directly on the thyroid?
Actually, you know, it'll pull debris out of the tissue anywhere in the body.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are receptor sites on the thyroids that are designed specifically to capture iodine. And I couldn't understand how, you know, early on when I was developing the detoxified iodine, I couldn't understand how some people could take, you know, tiny amounts of it and really, you know, zoom out with it, and other people would take large amounts of it and it wouldn't even affect them. But it turns out that the receptor sites get blocked with other halogens like bromine, chlorine, fluorine, and they can also get jammed up with heavy metals and other debris that's in the blood. So when I started testing the sulfur salts, I realized that, you know, it would actually clear out those receptor sites that are designed specifically to capture iodine.
I'll be darned.
And once the iodine gets into thyroids, which is the main place in the body where the iodine's working, then the thyroids will come back up.
So that gives more explanation, you think, about the different so different of people, the amount that they can take.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're all different, but, you know, we're all basically the same too.
Yeah, at the same time, right? Yeah. But also unique because Jesse writes in, she said, Edgar Casey healing late stage cancer that we're going to talk about with these things. Nobel Prize winner in medicine, Setsgorgi, G-Y-O-R-G-I, was said to take 1 gram of Lugol's per day. So I get confused about what to take. Would like to take Etomidine, but if this Nobel Prize winner in iodine took Lugol's, wouldn't that be more right to take? What makes Etomidine better in your opinion?
Well, iodine is a halogen. You know, it's one of those four halogens in the periodic chart. As you go up the charts, iodine, bromine, chlorine, fluorine, right?
Yeah.
And the higher up you go, the more caustic that vibration is, more poisonous it is. But even iodine at the bottom is pretty poisonous. So, you have to be careful when you're taking the stuff. And Casey said, what we're going to do is we're going to run it through this electrical charging process where you have this this wet bath that has an acid solution in it, and you suspend a bottle of the iodine down into it, and it has poles also in solution on either side of that, and you run electrical charge through the poles. So the electricity doesn't penetrate the glass that the iodine's in, but that magnetic field is very intense. And that actually transmutes the raw iodine to what Casey refers to as the atomic state. And he says that once it's in that form, then the body can fully recognize and assimilate it.
Huh. Because he felt, didn't he, if I remember some of the stories, that the raw stuff that he said that could, he didn't like using it for the body. He wanted to do magnetically electrify it, whatever, what you just described. for the body to use it more readily, and did he feel like the raw stuff was not good? But then you see things like Nobel guys, you know, like this guy, this lady mentioned, and just using the raw iodine. How did that come together? And
well, it's better than nothing.
But you just, he just felt, and you feel like this is a preferred way to do it.
In the atomic state, you know, I mean, I've been doing this for 25 years, and, I've observed tens of thousands of people.
Really?
And, you know, with raw iodine, you know, you ask any medical doctor that prescribes iodine, they'll tell you, you know, it's tricky. But, you know, with the detoxified iodine, you know, you just don't have those problems because it's not in a form that the body is going to reject.
So if you take the raw stuff, Casey felt like, and you do, that the body rejects some and that can be detrimental, things going on you don't know about?
The body spends a lot of time and energy dealing with poisons. You know, that's the number one priority. If you get poisoned, the body will expend all its time and effort
to get rid
trying
of it. Yeah.
To address the situation.
Right, right. We don't want to speak badly about any products or anything, but is this stuff that they call detoxified iodine, are there some other ones out there that actually do it right, in your opinion?
I trained a couple of people early on, but, you know, invariably they got involved in this whole idea of becoming rich and famous. And
something you forgot. You forgot to do. You and I forgot that part. we're all rich, though, right? You pay your bills.
Casey used to say, look, you know, if you're not doing this for the right reasons, don't do it.
Oh, did he say that, really? Yeah.
And, you know, invariably, these people end up getting into all kinds of problems, you know, associating with the wrong kinds of people and stuff because...
Changing the way they do it and stuff like that.
They're more concerned with the profit, the marketing and all that stuff. The reason I can enjoy this and continue to develop and talk to people is because I don't do the marketing and the advertising and all that stuff that everybody else does. And, you know, once you get locked into that revolving door, you know, you just have to keep pedaling as fast as you can.
Yeah. If you'd like to try some of Phil's iodine, we've talked about it. It's right on the front page and also in our store. It's the detoxified iodine, the Edgar Casey, the real formula, not mess with. Procter & Gamble hasn't knocked on Phil's door and said, hey, I would like to buy that. Just go on One Radio Network and you don't need a lot. I just do 2, 3, 4 drops on my little, I put it on my wrist, you know, on my wrist in there and just like that. And it's about all I do. I feel like I get plenty of it. Do you just do a few drops yourself?
I usually put 7 drops and 1/2 ounce of water. That's the right amount for me. And I use it as a rinse and a gargle.
Huh.
I only leave it in my mouth for maybe 10 or 15 seconds, but it gives me a couple of drops in my bloodstream, which for me is sufficient because I'm around it all the time.
Yeah.
And kills the bacteria down below the gum line. And turns out the teeth are like the grand central station for the whole meridian system of the body. So when you address that excessive bacteria down below the gum line, then you get a clear connection with the meridian system. And so energetically, it makes you very alert and focused, and you're able to concentrate and do all whatever you want.
Every tooth, if you ever see the chart, I'm sure you've seen it. Every tooth is connected to a meridian in a different organ. Isn't that cool? Every tooth in the body. It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
God's pretty cool, man. How we figure that one out. Yeah, there's a lot of, as you know, there's a lot of evidence over the years that the root canal teeth and the cavitation teeth and directly tied into the breast meridian in women has been shown over and over and over again. So let's talk a little bit about this UV lamp with the animated ash. This is a Casey thing and something that you make, and you have a couple of people that actually have come up with some pretty interesting stories. Talk about it.
This is another one of those ideas I was looking at when I was still in Virginia Beach, which was about 25 years ago. And I'm just thinking, this is fascinating. You know, you go back to the basics with Casey, and he says, well, there's only a couple things really about cellular malignancy that you need to know. One is it's an anaerobic environment, which means there's no oxygen there.
Right.
And these cells, they're not normal cells. They're distorted, and they lose their polarity. You know, I mean, the Earth has polarity, a north and a south pole. But, you know, these cells lose that polarity. And so they have a specific charge on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's different from a normal cell. So Casey uses carbonized electrified bamboo. And bamboo has a very high silica content. So what it carries this charge that you put on it when you electrify it.
Mm-hmm.
And you ingest small amounts of this, and it gets, you know, wash it down with some water, and it gets right into the bloodstream. In a few minutes, it's attracted itself to, you know, these malignant cells or tumors, if you will, because of the charge that's on it. And carbon is of a unique ability to carry high concentrations of oxygen because it's very cavernous on a molecular level. And so it's stuck, let's say, you know, to the outside of a tumor site. And then you excite the ash with a sine wave characteristic that is carried with this particular UV light that Casey recommends. And it's filtered through a filter a certain way. You just expose yourself to that for like a couple of minutes. And as that sine wave is passing through the body, it excites the ash. It releases the oxygen that is carrying into that site at the cellular level. And that's the key to the whole thing because, you know, there's been people doing oxygen therapies for decades and having some success with it. But unless you can address that particular cell and do it at that level, at the cellular level, where you can oxygenate that cell, then it's not going to convert. It's either going to die. It can actually revert back to a healthy cell again.
So it's the idea that we've heard about, toxins and chemicals and stuff can actually steal an electron or something from a healthy cell, change the pole on it or the energy on it.
Yeah. Casey says it all goes back to blood toxicity.
Blood toxicity.
All cancers. He says there's 19 forms of it.
Wow. Yeah.
And that it all goes back to blood toxicity. So, he's also talking about changing the diet, changing the attitude, cleaning up the system so that, once you get the body moving in the right direction, then, this tumor will dissolve over time with, that oxygenation therapy. And back in the days when I was in Virginia Beach, I studied a couple other people, Meg Patterson, and she was a British physician who discovered square wave technology that she used to get people off of drugs. And she was famous in London for getting all these famous musicians off of heroin and stuff. And Jörg Nordström, a Swedish radiologist who pioneered needle biopsies, he also developed a technique for introducing probes into the body. One would actually be in the tumor site, and then the other would be on the outside of it, and then he'd run electrical charge through it, and he'd reverse the polarity of the tumor and dissolve it that way.
Wow.
And, he was very successful at this, but of course, you really have to sell it in this country if it's going to go anywhere, and he couldn't get any traction here in the U.S., even though he toured and explained it. People just weren't ready for it.
Yeah.
So, there's other cancer therapies, of course,
Sure, a million of them, yeah.
Yeah.
But Casey believed this was the essence of it. Here is a polarity
thing. This was the most direct way in a non-invasive approach.
And you've recently had a couple of experiences with people with this ash and the UV lamp?
Yeah, I've always had it in the back of my mind. I had some success when I was experimenting with it when I was back in Virginia Beach. But, when you're dealing with this kind of stuff, you have to be a little careful. And I turned it over to a buddy of mine, a few years back, because he was more of a electrical engineer, and I just figured, he'd be better at, building lamps and all that stuff. But I never went anywhere with that. And then recently, for whatever reason, I built one, and this lady on the other side of town who takes, cancer patients and a whole bunch of other stuff too. But one of the things she does is cancer. And, she takes people that have been told to go home from the hospital.
Yeah, one of those, yeah. We've heard those stories, right?
The doctors are okay with that because they figure there's nothing they can do anyway. So, and they don't want the statistics in the hospital because that doesn't look good. So she had one of these lamps in her office, and she never really used it because she didn't really know what to do with it. But she liked the idea. So there was this one lady who saw it and was in her office one day and said, "Oh, I'm interested in that." And so she said, "Oh, I'll rent it to you." And she took it home and she used it, and she had breast cancer.
Yeah.
And it had metastasized to several other areas in her body. And after a couple of months, she went back in for another thermal screen, and where they actually look at the whole body. And turns out all the stuff that had metastasized had disappeared. So,
wow, using the UV and the ash?
Yeah.
Now, where did she shine the lamp's pretty big, isn't it? It's a pretty good-sized thing. Where do you shine?
Casey always innervates through the spine for
right on something. The back, yeah. Wow. Was it said to do, and so after 2 months, her little things were gone?
Yeah, all the stuff that had metastasized disappeared. I thought, then she told me about it. I talked to her on the phone one day, and I didn't know what any of this stuff was going on. And I thought, oh, that's pretty exciting, you know?
Sure.
And she still got some breast cancer, but that's also down. And then I built another one, and this lady that I know in L.A., who was interested in this stuff, has had this guy in painting her house, and she got to talking to the guy. It turns out the guy had liver cancer, and you know, I'm an old house painter.
You knew about the stuff in paint, right?
Wow. Yeah. Usually, you know, all those guys, you know, because I used to do that stuff, and mm-hmm. you know, that was pretty much end game, you know. And you, as a painter, you know that because the liver is taking all this stuff and trying to process it. Gets overwhelmed. So the liver is a pretty interesting organ. It's capable of regenerating, like the only organ in the body that can really rebuild itself. But she told him about me, and so I built him a lamp, and then a couple months later, I talked to him on the phone. He said, yeah, I went back in for my, and this was stage four, right?
Which, what does that mean? That means like the end is near, well, kind of thing?
Yeah, stage five is the end.
Oh, I see. Stage five is the end, and you're out of your body playing with the angels, and stage four is, get it together.
So I talked to him on the phone. He said, yeah, I went back in for my, scan, and the liver cancer was gone. And I thought, you know, this is a bit of a coincidence. You know, you got two people both in the same month from the two lamps that I built that both had these miraculous stories to tell. And, you know, I mean, it's not really a scientific study, but it's enough to get me excited about the idea. So I'm thinking, you know, I need to build some of these and
get them, put them in
the, and see what happens. I mean, you know, I mean, as is the case with any ailment, there's many variables. And, you know, you can't, especially with, you know, when you're talking about this stuff, you got to be careful about, you know, you can't make any claims, you can't say anything. And even when you have success, you know, you got to be really careful. Because
they don't like that. They don't like that cure word. And just, you know, especially if you're digging into that cancer industry. Yeah, they get feisty about that, boy, they really do. Well, folks can call you or email you. You have all your contact information on Iodine Source, and tell them you heard about it here, and you might talk to Phil about
it. Yeah, I even posted it on my products page.
Yeah, and, you know, see it right there, yeah.
There's a little information on the sidebar there. I wrote an article about it, and I thought, well, shoot, you know, I mean, I can't live in fear about, you know, what might happen if I talk about something.
Yeah.
I have to just, you know, move forward. And, it's still really in its infancy, but I look at it from a logical perspective, and it makes sense to me.
And folks have the freedom to experiment with anything they want to, right? You're not making any claims, you know, right? People have the experiment.
For a little while longer, you know, anyway.
They can have cockroach soup if that's what they want to do. You know, it's their body.
Sure.
It's called UV lamp for animated ash. And Phil Thomas is here. Okay, we got a couple more questions, and I want to talk more about this and ask about something else. I got a note here, but I got to do this real quick. We're with Daniel Vitalis and Sir Thrival. I asked you years ago if you could only have one food on an island, you picked colostrum. You still there?
It tastes so good. It's so
I mean, you're still on the island
delicious.
Taking colostrum, or would you change your choice?
Well, I need a couple other foods to mix in with it. My favorite thing to do with colostrum is I mix it with a grass-fed butter, a little bit of maple syrup, and cacao powder. And when I mix those ingredients together, I get this thick, rich chocolate mousse, which is one of the main ways that I eat the colostrum in my own house. And it's interesting because the people around me, my fiance included, usually are interested in it, not because they're after the colostrum. They just really love the food that I make. So it's a way to get the chocolate's a way to get colostrum into people without them even really thinking about, oh, I need colostrum for my immunity. It's a way that I can help work on people's immune systems, and they just enjoy eating chocolate.
Well, that sounds great. I want some. That's great. Yeah, I'm all in on that mousse thing. I have not tried that. I'm going to. There are many ways you can use colostrum. Very, very tasty. Any Sir Thrival Link colostrum on oneradionetwork.com. And we have the big sale of the year going on right now with colostrum. Biggest sale of the year. Check it out right on the front page of oneradionetwork.com. You see it on the top right there. 1 kilo or 2 kilo bags. oneradionetwork.com. Phil Thomas, iodine source. You can see the ad and also in the store now. So that's pretty curious, like an ultraviolet lamp. So Casey built this thing? I mean, this is how you learn how to do it?
Yeah. There was one guy who was living in Chicago who was actually the reincarnation of Ben Franklin.
What? The guy who supplied kites and everything?
Wasn't Franklin. His first name was Franklin.
That's funny. So,
and this was the guy who took an interest in this, and Casey, you know, gave him some readings and said, you know, I'd really like to get this thing going. And it just didn't take. But I always thought it was fascinating that here was a non-invasive approach to an issue like this that, you know, had this potential for turning around a condition that everybody thinks is so scary. Nobody even wants to talk about it. But
yeah, you don't even want to say it. Do you think it works in other things with the body as well?
Yeah, Casey, there are about half the readings where he's talking about this for cellular malignancy. And then he's talking about other kinds of conditions where, you know, you need to oxygenate, the blood or the tissue or whatever. And, there were a bunch of other, you know. And if you look at this list of different disorders where he's talking about it, you go, what do these all have in common? Because you wouldn't know unless you understood that, you know, the oxygen level for each of those conditions was the critical component.
Boy, it's tied in almost everything, right? Even sulfur oxygenates and everything, yeah. Right? The cells, we got these anaerobic and aerobic guys, and wow.
Yeah.
And so yeah. If you go to Iodine Source, you can look on the UV lamp. And also the sulfur salts is on your website, right? And on in our store.
Mm-hmm.
You got a great thing I love is the passion flower little fusion. That's cool. We've been talking about gray hair. I've been doing some, what do you call it? A small flowered willow kind of experiment. Actually seeing some little hairs growing in places where I hadn't grown before I'm going to look like. But it's not really doing the whole gray thing yet because I've had gray in my temples. But you've had some real luck. And you know what? Out of all the years I've known you, I've never really taken your Samson stuff and stayed with it. I need to do that. I've got two bottles of it. You know, you would think I would take it. Jeez, I mean, come on. Isn't that funny? But you took the Samson's, and you got rid of a lot of your gray with this tonic, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it comes back.
Oh, the gray came back?
Well, we're continuing to age and be stressed, and our diets aren't great. And then, you know, then you got to go back to it again. But
how long did it keep it away when you took this?
It was several weeks.
I'll be darned. Now it's got some things like pepsin, black snake root, ginseng, liver extract, detoxified iodine. Huh. How long did you take it before you start seeing some of the grays turn into a more normal color?
You know, Casey says you take quite a bit of it, and I didn't. I just took it, you know, modestly, and it took a couple months. But, once it happened, it was great. And the ginseng is American ginseng. It's a totally different ginseng than, you know, the Asian ginseng.
Yeah, right.
It's a whole different heatness, and isn't it level of heat and all that? It's very, very different. How long did it stay? Did it stay regular color before it wanted to turn back again?
Well, it started graying again. You know, once I stopped doing it.
No kidding.
It stayed for a few weeks, but you know, it wasn't an instant turn, but you know, it did. And I still have, it didn't turn totally gray again, but it's sort of back to where it was.
But you wouldn't want to take anything like every day forever, would you? But maybe after a while it would just,
I think the key is, the diet and then, trying to de-stress.
Yeah, I think stress is the big one, don't you? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I went through some really stressful stuff with a business early on, 40s, and that's when I really started to see some gray, and along the sides. And I never did connect the two, I said, oh, look at this. But you look at even presidents, right? People get in that job, and in 4 years, they turn gray. It's like, okay, well, must be the food at the White House or something. Well, Phil, you're always fun to talk to.